141. You have never had a beginning. You've always lived. And when you attain the incorporeal sense of your being, you will discover and know that I have always been. And that I is yourself. Now, the self that is the only self here that no one can see, the self that you will know the moment you have accepted that the physical you exists only in your view of mind and in the view of other people's minds. And so Joel says, to know God aright, you must be unknowing. Isn't that amazing? To know God aright, you must be unknowing. Meaning, you must unknow this physical world. But to know man aright, he says, you must be equally unknown. To know supply aright, you must be unknowing. Meaning, get rid of the belief that there is a physical, corporeal man or universe. Never deal, says Joel, with corporeality. When you're living out from incorporeality, you have attained the mystical consciousness. That's why he could say, I'm not in a body. I only speak through a body. But I am where you are. And wherever God is, I am. And whatever the nature of God is, I am. Because God is the nature of my being. That's not a man talking, is it? That's not a physical person talking. He had attained the incorporeal knowledge of his invisible self. He knew there was no physical man there. As Paul walked over this earth, not as a physical being, not accepting the images he saw, completely oblivious to the physical world, you begin to understand why Jesus Christ and Paul never attacked Rome. You would have thought that this was the biggest problem in the world, the cruelties of Rome, the terrible atrocities of Rome, the way they enslaved the populations of the world. And never once does Jesus Christ say, let's get Rome. Never once does Paul. This little fella never says, let's get Rome. What does he do? He tells you not to know any man after the flesh. What an incredible thing. Just go to all these iron countries. These countries behind the Iron Curtain. They're wanting to get rid of the oppressor. They want to get rid of Rome. Is there a Paul or a Jesus Christ among us to teach them? That isn't it. Don't get rid of Rome. Know no man after the flesh. You're not looking at oppressors. They're not out there. They're in your mind. Now, does that puzzle you? Does that confound you? If it does, you've got work to do. Now let's look at John. And I think what I want here is John 9, chapter 9. The blind man at Jericho has been healed, and he wants to know who did this to him. Jesus tells him the Lord, and he says, well, who's the Lord? And Jesus says, well, you've already spoken to the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to you. And he says, I believe, Lord. And then here's what Jesus says. For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now we think we see, because we say there's a tree and there's a man and there's a war and there's a disease. And he says, I have come that they which see might be made blind. Now if you're going to see these things and be made blind, that doesn't necessarily mean that your eyes are going to suddenly not be able to see. It means that you're going to develop the capacity to look at these things and see them as inner beliefs. That's making you blind. when you can look at these things and know that they are only your inner beliefs, that is the fulfillment of what Jesus is saying here. I have come to that those who see might be made blind. You see, that's Paul's experience without going through the physical blindness. You're overcoming the belief. Didn't Jesus later say it that way? I have overcome this work. I have overcome the belief that that which I am looking at with eyes is out there. I know that what I'm looking at with eyes is only within my mind. And I am come into the world that they which see not might see. And the only way you can see after you see not. You see, you think you're seeing, but you're seeing not. Every time you see matter, you're seeing not. And until you know you're seeing not, you can't be brought to the level of seeing. And that's why I think the message of inner vision is really the message of the blindness of Paul. And the message of the healing of the blind people. Again, if you are not a physical being but seem to be, you have to give up this belief, don't you? And if other people are not physical but seem to be, you have to give up that belief. And I think we have that here in Luke. You see, the way we think things are is not the way they are. 17:20. The Pharisee says, well, when will the kingdom of God come? And he answered, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can look all day. What you're seeing isn't the kingdom of God. And that's all that's here, is the kingdom of God. You're just seeing pictures in your mind, never getting outside the screen of your mind. Neither shall they say, lo here, nor lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Just as you are seeing a physical world within you, that's where you're seeing the physical world within you. You will now be lifted higher in consciousness to see the kingdom of God within you. Now, this physical world you see within you contains all your loved ones and contains yourself. And that's what's meant later in Luke 17:33. You've got to give up the belief that this physical self you see here wearing this body of you is you. And that the physical selves you see out there is your child, your mother, your sweetheart, and so forth. You're looking at them, and they are there as invisible spirit, but you're making a mental impression of it in your mind, and that is the physical image you're looking at, the image in your mind. You've got to give that up. You've got to recognize it is happening only in your mind. You've got to give up the physical image you entertain of yourself in your own mind. That's the meaning of this 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life. You see, you want to hold on to that image, don't you? You don't want to give up this physical form of you. Even though it's only in your mind, you think, well, my gosh, I mean, I've lived with it so long. If I give it up, what will I have left? Well, it's telling you what you're going to have left if you hold on to it. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. That's the words of the Christ. And how shall you lose it? Well, the same cosmic force that made it appear first in the minds of your parents and now in the mind of you is eventually going to remove it even from the mind of you. And they're going to call it your death, aren't they? And if you seek to hold on to that make-believe form that you think is there, you're going to lose it. You know you're going to lose it anyway. But you didn't know it was make-believe. Now you see why you're going to lose it, because it's make-believe. And therefore, whoever shall seek to save his life, meaning to hold on to this physical form life, shall lose it. Because if you hold on to it, it's the only one you're going to know. And when you lose it, you've lost it. There is no other for you. But whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. If you can give up this sense of life, this body image of life that you maintain in your mind, and lose it, give it up, overcome it, rise beyond the belief that this form that you see in mind is you, you will find the body of the self. Now, all this is lifting us to that which Paul understood. The physical forms which we entertain in mind have no substance. They are not life substance. And as a result, they must die. But if you turn and begin to see them as physical forms existent only in mind, you will be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And this is the way you activate the transmutation. This is the way you bring substance. And this is the way you replace the human image with the divine image. So that the new image of you becomes that which you entertain first in soul and then in mind, and this externalizes as a different self which is under grace. You are reborn of this inner substance. You are out of the deep sleep in man. Now let's close our eyes. And every time the word self is mentioned now, I want you to add another word to it, so that whenever you think of self or speak of self or hear of self or in any way refer to yourself, you never refer to yourself without this other word. Because it is the only self there is of you. And that other word is omnipresent self. There is no other self. The image in mind that you entertain, a corporeal image, a material image, is not your omnipresent self. It's the concept you entertain. But your omnipresent self is not an image in your mind. It's a fact. It's a reality. It's now, and it is the substance of God. That is the meaning of God, is the substance of every form. Your omnipresent self is made of the substance of God, and your omnipresent self is not a little form appearing out here as 6'2" or 5'7". And your omnipresent self is made of pure spiritual life substance, which never dies and is now yourself, and will never be experienced in its fullness until you get rid of or drop the concept of the material sense of self that you have entertained up to this point. That is why Paul told us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is not a spiritual substance. It is a mental substance, a thought substance. They in the flesh cannot please God because they are merely thought. If you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you mortify the deeds of the body, and you see, when you overcome the belief in the material sense of body, by seeing that it is only in the mind, you are mortifying its deeds. And then, says Paul, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. We're coming out of the deep sleep of matter, and we're learning to surrender the will of this physical self There is no physical self there to have a human will. And the human will of this physical self is as much illusion as the physical self. In my human will, I wanted to improve the lot of that physical self. You see the trap of the illusion of matter? So many people call up all the time about physical problems or problems relating to the physical sense of self. We have a financial problem in the family. This is the financial problem. Or we have an emotional problem in the family, or a domestic problem, or some kind of a problem relating to that physical form. And there isn't any. We're looking at a form in our mind which we think has a problem. And when we take that form in mind and recognize that the Spirit of God is present where the form seems to be, we are merely acknowledging our own omnipresent self. The one substance of God stands behind every so-called physical form. Nothing is changing in reality because there's a lot of TV pictures. Someone on the screen can die, but that doesn't mean the person who's playing the role is dead. Someone on the screen can be hit by a truck or a horse or something. But that doesn't mean the person in reality is being hit by the truck or the horse. Someone on the screen of your mind can have a disease, but that doesn't mean that the substance of God has a disease, and that's the only substance there is. All of the pictures in your mind, no matter what they say, flood, fire, hurricane, disease, destruction, warfare, famine, accident, the worst atrocity you can imagine is happening in the individual and group mind. It isn't happening in the substance of God, and that's the only substance there is. And you can stand in that knowledge. Because that substance is your omnipresent self. And when you don't stand in that knowledge, you are denying your omnipresent self. And this is the meaning of crucifying Christ. Now, we all have a lot of human trials and tribulations. But they only happen in the material sense of life. And when you remain in the material sense of life, you are denying your omnipresent self. And so you might say, we have to learn that we are the substance of God. Just as Joel said, wherever God is, I am, and that is the nature of my being. You find that on page 141. Same time he says, I'm not in a body. Wherever God is, I am. Now that's the knowledge of his omnipresent self. And whatever the nature of God is the nature of my being. Whatever is the nature of God's substance is the nature of your being. Because I and the Father are the one substance. The Father's substance and your substance being one, all of the qualities of God are yours. And it does not change them because the pictures in your mind are changing. All of the diseases in the world never touch the substance of God, which is the only present substance, and the only place where the diseases of the world occur in the minds of the beholders. They are not actual diseases in the substance of God. They are mental. They are thought. And you can stand in them. You can stand still in the substance letting the mental pictures pass by. Just let them pass by. And as you rest in this substance, you will know that the power of the Spirit is not changing, is not losing its quality, is not losing its strength, is not losing its power. All that is here is the invisible substance of God. Rest now quietly. Quietly, just rest in the knowledge that I am the omnipresent self, which is the substance of God. Just rest there. To know God aright is life eternal. This is how you daily build new substance out of the very spiritual essence of being. Living waters flow, transforming the mental images we entertain into divine images, which then seem to us to be externalized as forms under grace. When the disciples were lifted up to see the transfigured Jesus, they were seeing not their own mental image, but his soul awareness, which had transcended their own mental image of him. And later when they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, they were seeing again that transfigured self beyond their own mental awareness. And it was this same self that Paul, in his illumined state, saw when he heard, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And we, as we are lifted above our mental concepts, are stepping out of duality, out of the innate belief that these forms are physical when all they are is mental. We're told in Matthew that this duality is the cause of our problem. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And you can pit that against another phrase by the Christ. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, not dual, but single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now this single eye then is the capacity to rise above the duality which presents a material sense of world where only a spiritual universe is. And that's your single eye of the soul. Your capacity to bring the whole universe inside your mind brings you 1,000 years ahead of everyone who walks this earth in physical forms. It brings you into oneness with the prophets who had seen the truth that the physical world is mental and exists only within the mind of man. I mean every heartbeat, every muscle in your body, every quiver of every bone and every fiber of every physical being is mental. And when your vision is bad, it's mental. When your health is bad, it's mental. When a bone is broken, it's mental. When a germ is causing a disease, it's mental. And it is not happening outside the screen of your mind. And therefore, it is not happening. Spirit, God, is all that is happening. The substance of God is all that is being. And this mental misconception of the invisible substance of God into the things and the persons and diseases and evils and goods of this world is the duality, The single eye sees only that only God is happening. And as we live in the single eye of knowing that only God is happening, we can look at everything out there and realize you're not out there. God is out there. Every problem in the world is a denial that God is out there. Spirit has no problem. God is not physical, and so where is there a physical anything? If God, the spiritual self, is the only self, the only father, the only begetter of this universe, my kingdom is spirit. My creation is spirit. Maintain that knowledge and you're in the single eye. And don't let the physical appearances fool you. Now, this is the discipline that is only developed through continuous desire to love God supremely and all that goes with it, meaning daily contemplation, to build this new substance which replaces the dualities of the mind. You'll find in the contemplative life the chapter on contemplation develops the beholder is a marvelous aid to what we've been trying to get across today. And in parenthesis, living above the pairs of opposites is another excellent tool. And you should read both chapters. But remember, what's coming through today is not the reading of a chapter, but the discipline you impose upon yourself to completely walk out of the flesh, as Paul did. And not only out of your own flesh, out of cosmic flesh, the flesh of the world. And I say to you that unless this is done daily, you will not build your living spiritual substance. Give us this day our daily bread. Each day you must build living substance, and you must live in the single eye to do it. Therefore, your practice now becomes a walking contrary to the ways of the world. A knowledge that the entire world and all it contains is within the mind of each individual who perceives it and has no other existence than within those minds. And that the mind which perceives the material world is not the Christ mind. You are called upon to surrender the concepts of that mind. The only way you shall walk in the kingdom of God, which is the same as inheriting the earth, is if you are meek, willing to surrender the concepts of the mind, which is not the Christ mind, of the dual mind, which converts the cosmic mind impulses into the sense of matter, which has no real existence. I will often stand in front of a TV set or sit there and just turn it on the way I've told you to do today, just to watch those pictures go by, until I get the feeling, why, of course, all that's going by in my brain are pictures, just like on this TV. And these pictures are moving with such phenomenal speed that I have no choice but to accept them as outer physical living realities, but all they are is pictures on the screen of my mind. And even when I know this and can prove it to myself, if I don't stay in the continuous practice of it, something will come along and make me think it's out there and it's real and it's hurting and it's bad and it's evil, and that children are dying somewhere. or that a war is taking place and men are being shot. And all I'm saying is, I have an imperfect God. But when you develop your conscious awareness of this mechanical process which has fooled the world, and you take it into your silent chamber and you rest there with it until this becomes a growing awareness in you of the truth that the world is not out there, you'll discover the meaning of dominion is peace and confidence in the presence of infinite spirit. You'll be willing then to trust that the all power of infinite spirit is working in spite of all the pictures that float by seemingly outside. They'll tell you that Israel and the Arabs are at it again, and you'll say, yes, that's what the human mind is seeing. I realize that. And they'll tell you more children are dying of starvation, and that science is going to come up with a great cure for this and that and the other thing, and you're going to have to see that it's already been cured. It's just that mankind hasn't yet the single eye which you are developing. And you begin walking this earth, not in a physical form, but in your true incorporeal selfhood. You'll become aware of yourself incorporeally. You'll see that you really are independent now of the flesh. For if thine eye be single, thy body is full of light. You'll find that you really don't have a material form, and this becomes more and more real to you, until you're willing to release others from their material forms. And when you see form, you'll be thinking spirit. You'll be sowing to spirit, not form. You'll be liberating yourself. You'll be building your own awareness of divine substance. And this is building the omnipresent viewpoint. I am the substance of God, which is omnipresent, and therefore I am that omnipresent substance, that omnipresent self. And there's no threat to my omnipresent self. It's not going to die. It's the only self I am. This mental picture I've entertained of myself is beginning to become smaller and smaller and faded more and more. One day I won't even know about it. And there will be great glimpses when I'm quite sure that I am coming into that illumination which is the knowledge that I and the Father are one invisible substance in which there can never be any form of discord or evil or disease or a temporary life or an emotional upset. I'm beginning to step out of this form much better than I ever thought possible. Thanks to Paul, on the way to Damascus, just like Abraham on the way to Damascus when he was given the name of Abraham because he had his inner illumination. I'm on my way to Damascus. Maybe I'm going to arrive real soon. There won't be an Ananias around to open my eyes because they're being opened now within me with inner vision so that I'm becoming blind to the false sense of life and I'm awakening to the divine substance which is always free. Never in pain, never suffering, never born, never in discord, never in distress, and never dying. That's what happened to Paul on the way to Damascus. And that's what happened to those blind men when they were told to tell no man. They were being opened to the great inner vision that the world of matter was only in their minds. as we are being opened. But it must be practiced. Now, please don't give it less than 15 minutes a day. I have tried to give it 24 hours a day, and believe me, I'm not recommending that you do it 24 hours a day yet. Give it 15 minutes. And if you find that you're not too confused or uncomfortable, and have discovered that this is really the way you're going to have to go, give it another 15 minutes at a later time during the day. Make your day an effort to turn yourself over to this knowledge that I can stand here now and watch the cable cars in San Francisco, or the firemen go riding up a hill, or the automobiles on the road, or the airplanes in the sky, or whatever is out there. Even the grass growing, or the birds flying, or the butterflies skittery scattering about. And I can look at them all and say, some are beautiful, some are not. Some are happy, some are healthy, some are not. But whatever I'm looking at out there is not out there. It's in my mind. And it never gets off the screen of my mind to get out there. And the other person who's seeing the same thing is seeing them in the screen of his or her mind, and they're not out there for him or her either, even though he or she may think so. They're not out there for anyone. The whole redwood forest isn't out there. And all the oceans and all the planets and all the stars, they're all in the cosmic mind, and they're being broadcast into our inner human sense vision, and they never get outside. They are all mental. They are not the kingdom. And if you hold to that truth, you'll discover that you are gradually lifted out of the slavery to these outside events that have entrapped us in making us think that the world is being punished by God in some way, or that these horrible grievances that are taking place, these violences, these lacks and limitations are reality. As we free ourselves, we will free our neighbors. Now there you, there's your work for the month, and the chapters mentioned are the ones you can read, but remember, the doing of the work is more important than the reading of the chapters. And when you run out of things to do, as you might, start to think about, how do I build my viewpoint of the omnipresent self? How do I build my omnipresent viewpoint? How does my attitude, my thought, my belief challenge the truth that I am omnipresent self? Every belief in me that does not uphold and support and agree with the truth that I am omnipresent self is a false belief, and I must change that belief. I must come to the single I belief. I am the omnipresent self, the invisible substance, and nothing in this world has power over that omnipresent self that I am. You see why I said this is a new landmark? Why the 6 water pots that we filled at Boulder Creek are now being transmuted into the wine of spirit? Ananias was told to go to the street that was called Straight to find Paul, and that's the same street that we all travel, which the Christ spoke to us about and said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. As you develop this single eye capacity to know material sense is different than material reality, and that material reality is only material sense. It isn't material something, it's just material sense that you're suffering from. You'll eventually dissolve it with a single light of light, single eye of light. And there'll be no outside world of matter for you to combat. You'll have put it all inside your mentality, where it belongs. So that's the only place it is. And you won't fight it and react to it and try to change it and improve it out there. You just rest in the knowledge of the invisible substance of being, which is omnipresent. And this is how you'll come into the experience of grace, the acceptance of your omnipresent self as the only present living substance is truth, and therefore it will manifest as grace if you will rest in the Word. I want to thank all of you who have been so kind as to send me a letter telling me how you felt about the Boulder Creek work. And I really have received 30 or 40 of such letters, and they're a joy to see and to feel that inner development taking place on such a large scale now. It was all a preparation for this new work. Inner vision through the single eye. And there is your dominion without power. Dominion through grace. Dominion through simply knowing the truth of substance. And that is the dominion which takes dominion over land, sea, and sky, because land, sea, and sky are seen to be the inner mental beliefs that we have entertained about the invisible omnipresent substance, which is always in perfect harmony. I join hands with you now spiritually in gratitude for the great truth that is lifting us all. The day of light is truly upon us. And for those of us who can now develop our capacity to be meek unto the Spirit, we will find the earth being transmuted into its true, rightful identity as the kingdom of heaven. Walk ye in it, the finished present kingdom of your omnipresent substance. Much love until we meet again next month.